Hey there, it's Lars. Thanks for checking out the Lars Larson podcasting experience, and have a fantastic day.
Welcome to First Amendment Friday on the Lars Larson Show.
Thank God it's Friday!
Today, Lars puts you in the driver's seat. You talk about what you want to talk about.
Government is the problem.
No topic is off limits.
We will make America great again.
Call 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-HEY-LARS to speak your mind. Now, First Amendment Friday with Lars Larson.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show, and happy First Amendment Friday, live from Charlottesville, Virginia, with WCHV, the home of Thomas Jefferson and James Madison. They weren't on the radio, but Joe Thomas is our friend at WCHV, and we're glad to be here where Jefferson and Madison lived all those couple of hundred years ago. The venue we're in is called City Space. It overlooks Jefferson Foundation's free speech wall, which is right outside, and we're glad to be here for First Amendment Friday, heading into Memorial Day weekend. Independence Day weekend. Boy, that was a bad mistake, wasn't it? In any case, happy Independence Day, America, and welcome to Honestly Provocative Talk Radio for the United States of America. If you'd like to jump into the conversation, it doesn't take much, a phone call and some guts. And if you're a naysayer, we put you right to the head of the line. And if you want to claim the naysayer's 90 seconds, I've offered that up before. Oftentimes people can't fill the full 90, but that's all right. There's a lot to talk about tonight. And of course, the mainstream media is now in day two of obsessing over Donald Trump's insult of a very well-paid TV anchor. And I want to tell you my thought on this. Do I speak the way that Donald Trump does? No, I don't. But I also understand that for a lot of Americans, too many politicians are mealy-mouthed and they don't say what's on their mind. Donald Trump, a little rough around the edges, that is the truth. But insulting a TV anchor is now all of a sudden a capital crime, and this is the most important thing in America. CNN is obsessing on it. Fox is obsessing on it. And you want me to tell you the dirty little secret out there that none of them, I think, is talking about? Those two, Joe Scarborough, who was at best a rhino Republican, and his soon-to-be wife, Mika Brzezinski, who's a full-on left-wing lunatic, and yes, she's a lunatic, they've been saying nasty, dirty things about Donald Trump for months. In fact, since we're on remote, Ben Liebwall, our associate producer, is back at the station. Ben, if you've got that piece of audio, I'd like to play that piece of audio of some of the things these two jokers said. So if you are outraged that Donald Trump would mention Mika Brzezinski's facelift, because, you know, and television, you got to get facelifts occasionally. That's why I'm in radio. I have a face for radio already, and I'm not going to get it fixed. But take a listen to some of the things these two jokers have had to say about Donald Trump, and you tell me how you would respond if you had been attacked this way day after day after day on national network or national cable television. Just play it.
Where are your hands in that photo?
Well, he's covering his hands here because they're teensy.
That's it. Now, there are longer pieces, but they have called him a goon and a thug. They have called him insane and a criminal. You can't say all the things that they've said about him. And so I guess the rule is that where today I'm hearing that it is unseemly for the president of the United States to engage in insults. It's perfectly all right for everyone else in America, or at least those who have a media platform like a microphone and a camera, for them to say all kinds of nasty things about Donald Trump. And apparently the rule now, I didn't know this, the seemly thing to do when people in major media are bashing on you every single day is for you to say nothing. Now, I will tell you that I was an admirer of Ronald Reagan in that when people would say nasty things about him, he'd say, well, there you go again. And it was an appropriate answer. I understand that Donald Trump has offended some people. If you think this is the most important story in America as the cable news networks are treating it, it kind of tells you just how screwed up the cable nets are. And, of course, CNN is back at their headquarters at the Peachtree Center in Atlanta, and they are celebrating right now because they're saying, thank God there is some distraction to keep Americans from taking note of our outright, well, lying to the American public. As Project Veritas has pointed out, they have anchors, they have producers who have said the nastiest things about the American public. They have said that their own stories are BS, or Bernie Sanders, as we call it now. That's what they are doing, and they are saying, thank God something took the spotlight off of us because they are in big trouble. Now, if the GOP health care bill doesn't pass, should the U.S. simply repeal it immediately? President Trump has said that's what we ought to do. If you can't get this GOP bill, which is a halfway repeal, why don't we repeal it altogether? Let me tell you this. There's a great story. After restaurant workers lobbied to lower the minimum wage, the state of Maine actually did it. Now, you would say, why? Why would lowly paid restaurant workers pay the minimum wage? Why in the world would they want the wages to be reduced? Because they realized, as we've been telling you for a long time, that the minimum wage jacked up to levels like $12 and $13 and $15 an hour is a job killer. It's also a paycheck killer. There's a great study out of Seattle right now, which was one of the first places in America where they jacked the minimum wage up dramatically into the $13 range. And what happened? 1,000 restaurant jobs disappeared. And now that the restaurant workers have started to count their paychecks, they say, gee, I'm making more per hour, but my total paycheck is smaller. How did that happen? Well, I'll tell you how it happened. Jack up the labor rate. The restaurant owner only has so much money to spend on labor. He can't jack up the prices or he'll lose customers. He understands the marketplace better than his workers do. So he says, well, if you're going to make me pay them that much, I'm going to cut back the total number of hours I employ them. And at a net, at the end of the day, they work fewer hours and they get a lower paycheck. Now, if that's what you're looking for, I guess whatever floats your boat. Dr. Henry Miller is going to join me to talk about how Russia may be infiltrating the information on the science and food we're growing. Wow, they're not just doing elections, they're doing food as well. And earlier this week, a statue of the Ten Commandments was destroyed by a deranged man, a monument of the Ten Commandments, not even 24 hours after being revealed. The most unbelievable part, it's not the first time the man has done it. And don't forget to cast a vote in my quick poll. You'll find that online at LarsLarson.com. Should food stamp benefits come with a work requirement? This is a sensible proposal from Congressman Garrett Graves of Louisiana, and I'd be glad to have you vote in that quick poll at LarsLarson.com. Brought to you by AMAC. Join the group at amac.us, not.com. AMAC is better, better for you and better for America. And while you're on the website, visit my trophy room at LarsLarson.com. Post a picture and a paragraph about your latest hunting or fishing adventure for a chance to win some great prizes. And while we're here in Charlottesville, we're trying to help out with a couple of veterans' causes. One of them gives aid to service member families while they're deployed, and it helps with their reentry to society once they come home. You'll find them at paraderestva.org. That's paraderestva.org. And Project Healing Waters, giving injured and disabled veterans some fly fishing experience. A little thank you to the people who put on a uniform, picked up a gun, and went out and served American freedom. Now, to your calls at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Jason's on the phone from Red Bay, Alabama. Hey, Jason, welcome to the Lars Larson Show.
Well, glad to hear you. Big fan of you, man. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
I was going to ask your personal opinion, which I think you just answered on the Trump tweet. I'm getting hammered by, I've got a liberal friend around here down here, and they are just going crazy like Trump is belittling women, and I try to bring up Bill Clinton, like what he done, and it's like they just get more and more like their blood just boils, and I can't talk to them. It's just, it's getting ridiculous. And I, you know, I appreciate you saying what you did just a minute ago. I believe you answered my question. It's just, it's sad when it's okay, it seems, for them to go with him like they are, but yet when he responds, it's like, oh Lord, the end of the world.
It is. And I'll tell you something else. Do you know that women have been asking justifiably for a long time to be treated equally to men? Well, if a man said the kind of things about President Trump that Mika Brzezinski said, would the president be okay to throw some insults back? Somehow we're still acting in a very sexist way, saying, oh, somehow an insult against a woman is worse than an insult against a man. And why is that? Is that because, and I think there's nothing wrong with this, chivalry is not dead. It is kind of nasty to insult a woman. I wouldn't speak the way the president has, but given the kind of attacks launched on him, I understand why he's doing it.
Vote in today's quick poll now at LarsLarson.com.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. We are live in Charlottesville for First Amendment Friday, heading into Independence Day weekend, and glad to be with you. It's always a pleasure to welcome back to the program from Stanford and the Hoover Institution, Dr. Henry Miller, the Robert Wesson Fellow in Scientific Philosophy and a contributor for Forbes and National Review. Dr. Miller, welcome to the program, and tell me this, Vladimir Putin is not just messing with elections, he's messing with our food now?
Yeah, he's messing with all sorts of things, Lars. And the as one of my colleagues at Hoover said, anything that diminishes U.S. productivity or hurts the economy is something that the Russians want to stir up. And so we've seen that with their propaganda outlets publishing fake news about fracking, because fracking, of course, enables U.S. companies domestically to produce petroleum and natural gas, and that damages the Russian economy. So they're out there in a lot of areas. And, of course, genetic engineering is another one. U.S. is preeminent. Russia has virtually nil expertise, and so they trash our abilities in that area.
So what are they doing specifically about GMO foods, which, by the way, for my audience, I'm a fan of genetic engineering. I don't see the problem with it. I think it's actually better than the sort of more natural hybridization of plants. But they're actually messing with genetically engineered foods?
Yeah, there's kind of an unholy alliance among Russian propaganda outlets and the U.S. organic industry and U.S. NGOs who appear to be agents of both the organic industry and the Russians. There was a very interesting article in a Russian propaganda outlet called Your Newswire, which is widely considered to be a fake news source linked to Russian interference with last year's presidential election. And this article claimed that Melania Trump banned genetically engineered foods from the White House in favor of organic products. And there were extensive quotes from her, supposedly from her, in this. Well, it turns out that the quotes from her were cribbed verbatim from a 2010 article in something called Yes Magazine. It had absolutely nothing to do with Melania Trump. It was totally unrelated. So the author of this thing, someone supposedly named Baxter Dimitri, which is surely a pen name, a pseudonym, has penned other fake articles that allege, for example, one title is Sweden bans mandatory vaccinations over serious health concerns. Absolutely untrue. Another one was cited the arrest for treason of a former Hillary Clinton employee. So they're all over the place. This one guy, Baxter Dimitri, so-called, is himself all over the place with fake news, including the Melania Trump genetic engineering organic food story.
Well, I don't want to plant any false stories of my own, but does this mean we might be able to consider Jenny McCarthy to be a Russian mole here in the United States? I'm just saying that because we know that Jenny McCarthy is one of those people who's out pushing all the anti-vax stuff, which we end up talking about on this show from time to time, because I find the anti-vaxxers to be just plain old ordinary garden variety Luddites who don't like technology, unless, of course, it's a smartphone, in which case they have them.
Yeah, well, they're wacky in a number of areas. It's kind of paranoid ideation. I think in the case of most of them, the Jenny McCarthy's are just silly and misguided. However, they do damage. But the fake news. I mean, you're saying kiddingly that you could start a false rumor is sort of how the Russian propaganda outlets and the U.S. NGOs like USRTK, U.S. Right to Know, they're one of the worst at genetic engineering because they use some of the most vile tactics that the Russians use, a character assassination. And what they do is plant a rumor, plant a fake story on some outlet, and then it gets picked up by other outlets all over. For example, I don't know if you saw this headline today. NASA actually had to deny that it was running human labor camps on Mars.
What? That sounds like an Al Gore rumor. I mean, there's global warming on Mars, and it must be coming from the labor camps. Dr. Miller, thanks for the examples, and thanks for coming on tonight. Enjoy a wonderful Independence Day weekend. I know you'll find some nice wines up in Sonoma to enjoy.
Same to you and yours. Bye,
Take care, Doc. It's always good to have Doc on from the Hoover Institution at Stanford. To your calls, we always go to naysayers first. Joey's on the line from Michigan, listening on WILS. Hey, Joey, welcome to First Amendment Friday, live from Charlottesville tonight.
As a metaphor for the president's mentality, I picture him sitting at his desk with a fly swatter and standing up to chase every pesky fly that starts buzzing, giving them way more credibility than they could have ever dreamed of having when they started buzzing around. And if he wants to see the flies start quieting down, they're going to get under his skin. That's a fact. But use that as motivation to get up and pass health care and tax cuts, and you'll start to see the flies get very lethargic.
Well, Joey, I take that as a good metaphor, but tell me this. Do you really think that he's distracted by this? Or maybe he's actually smarter than we think he is, and he understands that if he keeps the national news media buzzing about this stuff, then they're not doing anything on the serious issues of the day. And maybe he's the smart guy, you know, smart like a fox, because he understands he throws out something like this, and the media spends the next 2 or 3 days chewing on that instead of anything else.
The flies have an endless appetite. They can munch on health care. They can munch on tax cuts. They're the ones on offense as long as he is.
They're on offense, but do you think the offense that they're engaging in enhances their credibility with the American public, or has most sensible people looking at them and it costs them credibility? Because, Joey, that's an important function, too. I've got a little Scotty dog at home. His name is Merlo. He's like 7 or 8 years old. I can throw the ball to him, and he will run until he is physically incapacitated. And, so any shiny object, that dog will run. Now, he doesn't accomplish much by that, and at some point he looks a little silly because he's running so hard, he's panting so hard, he can barely contain himself. But he keeps doing it as long as I keep throwing the ball. I'm wondering if Trump is playing that game.
I think you starve him. I don't think you run him around from issue to issue. If you pass health care and tax cuts and you get a 60% approval rating, they just look stupid and silly rather than coming down to their level and giving them the validation of
I don't think he's coming down to their level at all. I think he's throwing the ball and they're chasing it. And you know what they haven't been talking about a lot the last couple of days? The fact that the Senate chickened out and wants to vote on health care after the 4th, and they're looking pathetic. They'd have been talking about that for the last 2 days. Instead, they're talking about Mika Brzezinski and her poor hurt feelings. I got to tell you something. Mika Brzezinski either makes six figures or a high six figures or a low seven figures, and the best thing that ever happened to her career and Joe Scarborough's career was to be insulted, you know, in a way that's not that big a deal by the President of the United States. They're at home celebrating right now because
that's
this is
point.
The best
exactly.
thing that ever happened to their ratings, but it's not good for their credibility. We're live in Charlottesville. Glad to be with you on a First Amendment Friday night in the home of Jefferson and Madison. You've got the Lars Larson Show.
The Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. We're pleased to be tonight in Charlottesville, Virginia, with our friends at WCHV, and it is great to be heading into an Independence Day weekend. Glad to get your phone calls and emails on this First Amendment Friday at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Emails go to talk@LarsLarson.com. And on the phone with me right now is Pastor Phil Hudson-Piller. Did I murder your last name, Pastor? I don't want to do that.
You know, actually, I think we're related. You did such a great job. Thanks so much.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the program. And I want to know what I I was in Washington, D.C. the last 2 days, and I go there for an event called Feet to the Fire. And every year I run into my friend Dave Ellswick from Arkansas, and he said, Lars, you're not going to believe it. And he shows me a picture of this wonderful Ten Commandments monument that had just been installed in front of the Arkansas Capitol, and then it was destroyed by a man, what, the next day or the same day?
Yeah, I believe it was the same day, actually, or the next day. You're correct.
And this guy's done it before.
He has, and I think if we look at an underlying spirit of lawlessness that exists today, it makes more sense. Otherwise, we just write it off as some guy who really, you know, needed some help and was misguided. But why that? Why particularly the Ten Commandments? And this is the second time he's done the Ten Commandments. So there's something not only in him, but there's something in our age that I identify and Scripture identifies as a spirit of lawlessness.
And we have a lot of that going on in the United States. We have people attacking police. We have the police force to fight back and in some cases fire back. We have people staging massive protests in major American cities and local law enforcement and public officials essentially acquiescing to that kind of behavior. Where is this headed, do you think, Pastor?
Well, according to Scripture, we're headed to a time of lawlessness, complete lawlessness. You know, I was doing an interview on the History Channel, and he asked me the question, what keeps you up at night? And this was 7 years ago, and I said lawlessness, when it becomes mainstream in major cities across America and around the world. And little did I know what I said 7 years ago would become a reality today. And I think if we understand that we're founded on the rule of law, however, the rule of law doesn't stop a spirit of lawlessness, because all we try to do is respond by greater police force, greater jails, and greater penalties. But there's a deeper issue that is spiritual. And until we really recognize that in America and around the world, we're not going to arrest the problem. We're not going to solve the problem. We're really going to just set back as bystanders and, as you said, observe what's going on rather than taking some really definitive action. And not only in just from a force kind of standpoint, but also from a spiritual force kind of standpoint.
I'm talking to Pastor Phil Hotzenpiller, who's the founder and president of the New York Executive Coaching Group and the author of the forthcoming book, One Nation Without Law, out this 4th of July. So, Pastor, how much of this has to do with the fact that America is becoming an increasingly secular society?
Well, it really has everything to do with it. You know, when we're only one generation away from paganism, basically. One generation doesn't teach values, doesn't teach truth, doesn't teach goodness or righteousness. And that generation really begins to operate from a standpoint that everything is relative, everything is okay, and my rights become the most important thing in the world, and my rights also are superior to your rights. So we have total chaos that's happening, and I really believe we're only going to see it increase unless there is a spiritual transformation that takes place in our nation.
Yeah, and what is going to have to drive that? Because by Constitution, you can't have the government drive that. So what other force within this country could actually cause America to have a spiritual reawakening?
Well, you know, it's interesting you said government can't drive that control. They can't drive the spiritual control. They certainly could if things got bad enough, and there is provision in the law for martial law, which would impose military rule short-term over, you know, over society, which would be a very unfortunate time for us and other people around the world if that were to happen. But I really believe that we need to come back to values. We need to come back to real prayer. We need to come back to getting involved in our community. We're highly involved in the city of Anaheim, which is, you know, about a million or so people. So it's a fairly sizable city, but we're engaged in major ways. We're engaged with Boys and Girls Club. We run two of the city runs. They have a Christmas tree lighting for the city of Anaheim at our church. And we had the mayor debate at our church, and I was the moderator. So when you begin to put those kind of pieces together, there's instead of us sitting back in a like of a holy huddle and the church is just afraid to do anything, we need to take some definitive action and be proactive in engaging with what's happening in our world instead of sitting back and letting it happen to us.
Pastor, let me. You're a man of God. I want to come back against one part of our religious community in America. I see churches in my neck of the woods and around the country who are actively involved in opposing laws like the laws on illegal aliens. I just spent 2 days in Washington, D.C. at an event called Feet to the Fire, which is aimed at reminding Congress about simply enforcing America's immigration laws. And I see churches becoming less and less important in many communities around the country. I don't like it, but it is what it is. It's not something I have control over. But I also see churches that are openly advocating for people to violate the law. In some cases, they're even aiding and abetting those violators of the law. And I think that suggests something disturbing. I'm not sure where it's going, but when the churches begin to say, we are going to tell you that you can flout the law in America, that doesn't help us with a lawless America either.
Well, we're really in 1933 in Germany, where the church failed to do what it needed to do to stop the Nazi war machine. And so what we're really seeing is people without a foundational perspective on the rule of law, they become a law unto themselves, and they think that human rights are more powerful than the rule of law. And the problem is when we begin to push that so far, now law has no place. But imagine the chaos if we said there are no law, there are no speed limits on the highway. And that's really what's happening in America. We're saying some people say, no, I'm going to drive safe, but 5% will say I will drive any speed I want. That's what's happening in some of the churches that I believe are foundationalists in terms of what Scripture says. A quick reading of Romans 13 could clarify all of that, that all the rulers are established by God for God. They don't bear the sword in vain, and therefore a good society, a society without chaos. What we've really done in when we say there are no rules that I'm going to keep in related to immigration, we're really saying law is not important.
No, or and we're saying that if we disagree with the law, then we should actually actively advocate that people violate the law.
Exactly. And I think we could all come to a place where we could say if law, for example, was totally destroying everyone's human rights and violating its own law, then we would say, okay, what do we do? But when you break the law that's on the books and you override everything that society says is a norm, you create a chaos that really can't be solved except by force.
So what are you planning to do in the next year or two to try to reverse this?
Well, I think what we're doing now is we're highly engaged in our city. You know, I just tweeted yesterday, actually, that ICE had arrested 66,000 people, illegal aliens, and 48,000 were found to have a criminal record. Well, I support that, and I tweet that out and say, hey, look what's really going on. I'm glad Kate's Law got some movement there. I think it's a good first step. And I think we have to be citizens of the United States of America and not citizens of our own ideas and ideologies.
I couldn't agree with you more. Pastor Phil, it's a pleasure to have you on the program. We'll have you back sometime soon. Thanks for the time.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Perfect. And you have a wonderful Independence Day. We'll be back in a moment. You want to get on the air? You want to tell America what's on your mind? You want to engage in some honestly provocative talk radio, 866-439-5277 on the Lars Larson Show.
Opinion alert. It's honestly provocative talk on the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the program live from Charlottesville with the assistance of WCHV and Joe Thomas. I'm going to get one call in before we get Joe on. Sandra is on the line from Mississippi. Hey, Sandra, it's First Amendment Friday. Everything's fair game. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to add to my feeling about the news media. I'm getting to the point where I don't even want to listen to the news anymore. I was listening to a Mississippi talk show, and I thought this might brighten your day. One of their guests said that Trump could walk across the Potomac, and the headlines the next day would read, Trump can't swim.
It's an old, you know, it's the old joke about Trump meeting with the Pope, and the the Pope's mitre falls off in the water, and the Pope and Trump says, "I'll get it," and he walks across water. Yeah, and the Washington Post, Sandra, that is great. The Washington Post says, headline: Trump can't swim.
Yeah, of course, it's absolutely.
Now, I want to introduce my good friend of many years, Joe Thomas, who holds down the fort, runs the whole operation, does the morning show,
chief cook and bottle washer.
Yeah. Joe Thomas from WCHV in Charlottesville, Virginia. How are you?
I am awesome. I'm at that point in a special event where the inertia is going to carry it the rest of the way. There's nothing I can do to mess it up. You're here. You're on. The crowd is outside waiting to mingle for a while. They're having beverages and food. So the party's already started, and I can worry about tomorrow now.
Every time I come back here, and producer Carl Sundberg is with me, we get a chance to see a different part of Charlottesville, sometimes more, sometimes less. You took us up to UVA today, and I'll tell you what came home to me about that. You made the point that Jefferson felt that America was an exceptional country even then, even in its infancy, and that he wanted a place, UVA, University of Virginia, that was built. It was built within sight of where he was getting old enough that they knew it wasn't going to be much longer, but he could see the construction, and the place is still a beautiful place in both architecture and in what it produces academically.
And he felt that if the concept he started with the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776, was going to continue, more people needed to have the access to the education he had at William and Mary. And, you know, his family could afford a William and Mary University, go Tribe. But he said, we need to make this accessible to more people. And so he came up with this concept. And, I haven't researched this. One of these days I'm going to get old and I'm going to get one of those cab over, campers. And I'm going to drive around the country to every presidential burial ground. And, of course, this will be reported as Joe Thomas is threatening the president's life or something. I want to find out how many presidents don't list being president of the United States on their tombstone.
My understanding is Washington lists Farmer, does he not? The story goes that Washington was prouder of being a Virginia farmer than he was of being president, and that on his tombstone he said he wanted to be listed as a farmer, and I don't believe it mentions president.
Jefferson's, it says, author of the Declaration of Independence, author of the Virginia Act for Religious Freedom, and then founder of the University of Virginia. And that's it.
Those are three things to be very proud of.
Yes, they are. But, you think Barack Obama is going to leave president of the United States off of his epitaph? I don't think so.
We could just put community organizer.
It's a heck of a community. But it's a beautiful place, and we got to see some neat parts of it. And thank you so much. Every year you come out to help us raise money for some charities as well.
I want you to mention those, too, because we've been mentioning them throughout the show, and I want people to go to the website. Oh, it's just my pleasure.
And apparently Project Healing Waters has a very big Oregon footprint. So there's so there's probably people who even heard the Northwest Reports portion of the program saying, I know Project Healing Waters. They take injured and disabled vets out fly fishing. They have a big bamboo tournament where they do a traditional style.
These are the folks who are doing, they're not doing the lima glass.
No.
They're not doing the...
they can at some point.
But they're going to do it the old-fashioned way.
And they've built boat ramps for wheelchair accessible, so you've got a soldier who's lost both his legs and is in a wheelchair. They've built accessible ramps so he can get his chair down into the water line so he can keep fishing too. It's an amazing group, and it's some of the simplest stuff. You talk about, we need to fix the VA or something. This guy, John, who you've met, John Miska.
Big guy.
He goes up to the VA hospitals, has breakfast with the vets who are there. He's been pushing this. He's not a big fan of Vets Choice, even though the president is fond of it.
Choice, I've heard too many bad things about that program.
Well, it takes too long to get paid.
Well, because they didn't make it simple. I mean, if your boss, Joe, said, you came to your boss, said, boss, I need X for the radio station.
Right.
He would say, go down, take the company credit card, or go down and get the item, send the bill to me, and we will pay.
Price it out.
VA could have done that. And they could have said, that there's a set of criteria, but if you're going to go down to the vet because you got diabetes and you need an exam, you get the exam, the doc sends the bill. Now, obviously, you have to guard against, but my understanding of the process is You go to the private doctor. The private doctor has to, you know, see you and then die. And then he sends the bill, and it goes right back into the same messy bureaucracy that created the problem to begin with.
And meanwhile, these vets, who often didn't have a lot of take-home income during their military career either, are now looking at their credit score getting slammed because now they're in collections from the hospitals who are saying, hey, you know what, it's been 6 months, 8 months,
it's 9 months. It's unnecessary.
Absolutely unnecessary. So the intention is great with Vets Choice, but I also want to mention Parade Rest,
yes.
ParadeRestVA.org. This group, what they do is they work with the families of active duty servicemen and women to help them do as many normal things as they can, go to a movie, go to a ball game, do those kind of things. And then when the servicemen or women come home, they help with the reentry as well. So, again, an amazing group. It was founded in this area by our fire chief. So they do some stuff for first responders as well. So they're great folks. ParadeRestVA.org.
Joe, it is a pleasure to be here with WCHV.
It's awesome.
We love
coming
to the home of Madison and Jefferson, and we always appreciate the historical tours that you provide.
And you're in municipal property, and we survived.
Yeah, I've survived. I've survived.
But you're right here over the – we got to get a picture of you by the free speech wall.
I know. It will go out there. The rainstorm has stopped. Joe, thank you so very much.
God bless you, Lars. Thank you. And, Carl, thank you guys for coming. Every year you come, it's a – you know, as long as we can get you out here, they love you here in Charlottesville.
I really appreciate it, Joe. You know, you've heard me talk about my Sleep Number bed. I've been on the road the last few days sleeping in hotel beds. The Sleep Number bed is the best. My Sleep Number setting is 65. And my friends at Sleep Number have come up with something brand new, the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, designed to keep each one of you effortlessly comfortable for your best night's sleep. Like all their beds, they let you choose your ideal firmness on each side of the bed, perfect bed for couples. And now, with the new responsive air technology, the bed senses your every move and automatically adjusts to you. So staying sleeping comfortably throughout the night is easy. They'll even, well, part of the bed even pre-warms the foot of the bed so that you can make sure you're nice and comfortable and your tootsies are toasty every single night. And this is the best time to check it out. During the lowest prices of the season, save $500 to $700 on the most popular 2016 beds. Visit any of the 550 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find them at sleepnumber.com and tell them Lars Larson sent you, live from Charlottesville.
The Lars Larson Show.